Welcome back to the Playhouse featuring Stella Bogonko. Now listen, if you're catching us here, do your life a favor. You are not doing justice to the story. You probably read the title and that's why you want to watch it from here. Go back to the very beginning. It's important to understand the context of the story. This is our first series of season 5, and let me just say that it is beautifully setting the stage for the next couple of playhouses that we're going to have. This is such an amazing conversation that we're having thus far. I don't even want to spoil it. I just want us to continue going on with the story. So where we left this story, Stella, first of all, thank you for the amazing life story and the vulnerability with which you're sharing your story. I also just want to say a big thank you to Hemingway's Karen for their hospitality. Okay, let's continue. Now, where we left off this story, you've decided to follow God, and God has told you for the next 12 months, you're going to be a model, no working, and you're going to be in ministry. Continue the story.
So I went against what everyone else was telling me and sort of like got into this space. And again, for me, because now you're left with almost like you have to prove God right. There was not a pressure to do that, but it was almost like I have to make it count. Like if he set me on this pathway that is almost like a wilderness, then it has to count for something. Otherwise, then I would have stayed and continued in the normal pattern of the picture that we have of life where, you know, you finish school, you get into a nice job, you get married, etc. But God then had sort of like given me a different trajectory, and I was now following him into the unknown.
Let me ask you a question, and this is a very important question. Money.
Oh yeah, that's the other thing. So you'd think that because now I've followed God into ministry, to now it is for hand to mouth. No, I got deals like crazy. Because remember he said modeling. And that's when he sort of like thrust me into the entertainment industry. That's where I met all the many artists,
yes.
You know, good friends of mine that I know to date. And so I got one gig after the other just to show, you know, just to make appearances as Miss Tourism. And then...
very important to note. You started getting revenue generation through this title of Miss Tourism.
Yes, through endorsements, advertisements, different things that he would have me do. Like I say, just appearances, you know, to come and speak, because there would be like youth events and then you're invited to speak and they give you something small, which you're not expecting, but it's like God's way of just telling you, I got you, you know? I didn't just set you on this pathway for you to eat to air.
Were you that's funny. Were you living at home still in this period?
Yes, I was living at home at this time.
So you're still okay, you're still at home.
Yeah,
okay.
In that sense.
Yes.
But you see, you're going back to a home where you're still being asked, how is your modeling taking you? In a way. Yes. But I must give it up to my parents. Yeah. For some reason, because they had begun to watch this thing about me. The moment they understood, every time I'd say I sense God would have me do something. Even if they struggled with it, somehow they'd let me be. And in a way, they would then be blessed in that way, because they would just nurture that thing, either by giving me room to figure myself out, or they're not the kind of imposing parents that would insist that you do something a certain way.
Yeah.
So for me, they actually give me that liberty. And being God-fearing, I think there was something that was tugging in their hearts.
Aha, okay.
You know?
I get it.
The example I would give is maybe like Jacob. You know how there's a time when he watched the thing that was happening between Jacob, Isaac, the way he watched Jacob. He didn't understand fully what had happened, but he could see what God was doing with him. The same thing that had also happened with Jacob over Joseph. When Joseph came to tell the story of I saw this. See, because he had also had experiences with God in terms of dreams that God would give him, he knew that this boy is onto something. So while everyone else was ridiculing him, like, you know, you're telling us
you're
about
us,
you think we're going to worship you. But Jacob actually understood that there's something that God is doing with this boy. So I think that's the position that my parents took.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful, beautiful story. So how is this season? I don't want to trivialize this 12-month back pulling of the fair.
Yeah. So remember, I've just become Miss Tourism. Again, the thing about the project that you're supposed to do. So when you become a beauty queen, it's expected that you will do a project in line with the reason for which you became, the queen in that area. So again, because of practice, I went back to God and I said, okay, Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do. Now, you'd think he'd tell me to go and do something in terms of tourism. But in actual sense, he began to, remember I was still living at home in Kibera.
Yes.
So he began to, and this is after post-election violence and everyone is everywhere, sort of like confused. And of course, most importantly, the young people.
Mm.
So he put this thing in my heart to begin meeting with my peers or people who are younger than me, guys just from the mta, you know. And he put this thing in my heart to be meeting with them weekly. And because, like I told you, I was always the high performance, sort of like pushing myself, setting targets, setting goals, which was also part of what God was using to train me to push myself. And he began to tell me to walk with them. And by the way, most of them are Muslims. So I'm not, I can't go there with just God, Christianity, etc. Mm. But somehow God showed me how to interact with them. So I'd meet with this group of like about 70, 80 young people.
70, 80?
Kibera at the stage, if anyone knows Karanja Road at the stage, but there's a place we used to meet. And we'd meet and we'd break into groups and I'd tell them, set targets for yourself. Like in the next 1 month, where do you want to be? Like just to push their mentality outside of, this is how we are, this is what life has dealt us with, this is what we can become.
Whoa.
And I remember my
joy. How did you even mobilize? Like, don't rush over this, Toro. This is so huge.
Okay, first of all.
Especially in line with what, where you're at or what you've been doing.
See, they had watched me become Miss Tourism.
Oh, so
they knew me. You see, I wasn't a stranger in Kibera. Mm-hmm. They knew me. We were the Bogonko girls.
Mm.
So, first of all, you become Miss Tourism. They are watching your life. You're living in a community, even if you're not at it very close with them. But you begin to have an influence that you don't even realize that you do have.
You're a light within
yeah.
the community.
And there are some that God had already drawn to me and we'd just talk, not necessarily like hang out, but just talk. And somehow these ones would now mobilize for themselves, something that I found useful in politics much later in life.
We're getting
you always need the mobilizers, yes. You know? So these guys would always bring the people. And somehow the likes of Zuhura, Yusuf, all those guys that we'd meet with, they would now become, you'd spot the leaders and those leaders begin to come sort of like the ones that are influenced because you're not there throughout, so they're able to influence their peers. And it was a mix of Muslims and Christians, but it was an amazing experience for me. This was contrary to, again, going the tourism way into going the opposite direction of form this thing. So God had me register this CBO, which is a community-based organization called Hoki. It was even featured in Nation. And we do like different things like cleanups and activities that were all geared towards how do you shift your mind from what you are right now to what you're supposed to be. But my main goal was helping them set targets. Like, and I remember there's a time when I told them that by August, this was I think earlier in the year, and I told them by August I'll be driving. I'll have my own car.
Mm.
And this is like, I think a year later or at some point, I can't remember the exact timing. And because I did that program for a bit. And for sure, they saw me driving. And you know, sometimes there's nothing that speaks better for some people than results.
Yes.
So for them, they're like, oh my God, this thing actually works. You know, whatever you're telling us. And you see, that gives me a basis to then introduce God and introduce my God and introduce who I am and why I do what I do. Again, a training that I would never have gotten in any other kind of experience, in any other kind of so environment,
yes.
So to speak. Yeah.
So first and foremost, I'm mind blown about God's ability to see the past, present, and future. Because this tourism thing that he tells you there's a bigger purpose as to which I will
precisely
use it for,
mm-hmm.
becomes your magnet,
yeah.
when it comes down to the hood and mobilizing,
yeah.
and doing impacting youth,
yeah.
but that same time while you're doing that, it becomes a foundation and training ground, mm-hmm. for when you're entering politics and you now need to do
much later in life.
Yes, much later, yeah. in life. So it's nothing is wasted in the journey and in the process.
Absolutely.
So what about ministry wise and in church?
I was very active still, leading worship and, you know, doing my thing and all that. And I was.
Did it become difficult because you are not working?
No.
Or it didn't. Nothing changed.
Nothing changed for
okay.
me. In fact, like I said, there's a way that God always shows up to give you a witness or to give you an affirmation that you're actually walking in the right direction. Because I had more time to spend with him. And those are the days now, that thing about spending time in the basement, you know, or, you know, in church at some point doing different things and just really just spending time with God intensifies your walk with him. By the time I was leading worship, I knew that the levels I was hitting in God that were a function of the freedom or the time that I had been given that I was now spending in investing in him, as opposed to maybe having a day job that I
yes.
would have to go to.
Yes.
the minute he said ministry, I understood exactly what he was saying. It wasn't just ministry in terms of standing on stage and leading worship. It was ministry in terms of who I am and my life speaking. So that intensified, and I felt like God used that year to just make sure I was really grounded.
It was 2008.
Yes, for what was to come then.
Okay. At this time, do you even have any interest in politics? Did you see your life even going in that direction?
No, absolutely not. And I forgot to say something that is important, because God then introduced someone in my life at that point. Remember when I said that everyone was saying no? And everyone was saying, how can you forgo a job? And God introduced someone that I to date call my father, who began to, he's sort of like the first person or the only person at the time who told me, if this is God, there's no... It's a no-brainer for him, because that's how he lives and that's how he's always lived his life. Mm. Like you, if God demands of you to do CTA for free, for example, you do it. Like for him, it's not a, like, what are you arguing with people about?
Yep.
Yeah, you follow God into the unknown and he always shows up. And that is one of the things that sort of like strengthened me, because it opened my eyes to see there's actually people who live like this. They may be few, but they're there.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so how does the story progress?
So at this time then at the end of that year, which was around end of 2018 to 2009, God then brings me a job, like literally found me. I didn't have to go looking for it. And this person calls me and tells me, I have a position for you that I want you to take up. And of course I go back to God and he tells me that's fine. And I got into this sector, which was construction. And this is a funny thing. You get into a company, and it was like, of course it was like, it was a construction company. And so there are not many structures at the time, and you get in and you have the wisdom of how to lay structures in place and how to put things together.
This is where we're neighbors or navigators.
Yes.
Next to navigators.
Yes, yes, I remember. Yes. So anyway, so I get into this, and God uses it to shift me from just being a,
was your first job.
That was my first job. So I entered.
You're making it sound like you started Uko.
That's what I'm about to explain. So as opposed to entering as an admin, you know, the way you start like a reception job, or kienda sana, assistant manager, or something like that. God literally shifted me all the way to the operations manager, which basically means you're the second in command.
I remember.
And it was because I got in and all I wanted to do for them was like set up processes and put structures in place, because we were doing well. But then,
Sela, that was your first job. Are you seeing me? I'm a bit in shock.
Because you know it. Yeah.
Like that?
It was just favor. And that's what I'm saying, the catapults. God takes you back and you seem like you're losing time and losing opportunity. But by the time he releases you, I got into this place and I knew I was earning a lot more than my peers. The position, of course, was prestigious. Then, for God to top it up, we begin to earn awards. The best in this, because we had put systems in place.
And that was
we're
your
doing
role.
Well, precisely. And you're trusted with basically run the company. And you're like, where do I start from? And God begins to teach you and train you. But again, that was like now the beginning of the foundation of my career in now involving God in who you are as a career person.
Okay. Me, I'm going back to this because I'm actually shocked about this.
Why?
We were neighbors at Navigator, so once in a while we'd have lunch or just stop and talk.
Yeah.
But that was your first job. I'm trying to emphasize just the level at which I then saw you at. And it's not even that I saw you at, that you were at within that company. You're right.
Yeah.
You were literally the number two. In fact, a lot of the times I'd come into the office and it's yours. You are heading it.
That's when God emphasized for me the thing about faithfulness. You know, when you get, like, for example, someone working with you, or you get into a position and get an opportunity, the minute you're faithful with what is little, it's scriptural. You're faithful with what is little, God will definitely give you much. If you're faithful with what is another man's, he will entrust you with what is your own. So I literally owned it in a way that this thing has to work or work. And so I gave it my all. I invested my time, my everything in making sure that it would become what I knew it can become. And for us to get those awards and be recognized, you know, nationally and then Africa-wide, it was an amazing testimony for me of what God can do when you actually yield your life to him.
And my question is, even the skills that you had, like throughout this whole journey, I've not per se had you talk about the skills of companies, organizational structure and things like that?
I had a stint in terms of internship in early 2007, where I met, she's now currently I think in charge of quality at KenGen, an amazing woman who used to tell me, account for your time, you know, 24 hours in a day, yes. Tell me what you were doing at 8, at 9. And for almost like 3 months, she was teaching me how to set up structures, but at the same time, she was teaching me how to set up structures in my own life. So that's Catherine Nyambala. So, so that's the only stint that I had in terms of working before now getting into this job.
So literally you are applying what you learned in your internship?
Not necessarily. I would say...
Or you could see errors. You could see...
Yeah.
You could
I was discovering as I go along. And that's the beauty about working with God, because you would realize you can do things that you didn't know you can do. Because you're not... My life was not compartmentalized. It was, okay, even this job, the way it came, it was a huge, like... door opened by God, which I would never, even if I applied for it, I wouldn't have gotten it, you understand? But for God to open it, and then you go in and you have favor, and then you begin to work, and you're the one determining the direction of the company, working in tandem with the, you know, with the owner and with the CEO. It was a beautiful experience for me, especially on matters of faithfulness and also just applying yourself. Remember, by the way God had trained me, I would push my own limits as a person, and therefore to date, every job that I've had, one of my roles has always been to raise the bar. Like, how can we do better? How can we perform better? How can we get to the next level that we're supposed to get into?
What about as you're being thrown new challenges that you've never faced before within the company? How do you overcome those hurdles?
Like I said, most of them were, I would say, I guess because the CEO was still largely involved in the company, it was more of, they have the vision, and this is one of the things that I learned, that every visionary requires someone who's actually, who believes in the vision enough to implement it like it's theirs. I learned that because they don't, some of them are limited in the sense of, and I realized this is a pattern that God gave me in all my work environments. You're brought to the person who has the vision, or who is like the overall person, but they sometimes they lack the graces to implement, or they don't have the time. Or they don't have the, you know, just the ability to be everywhere at the same time. But they need that person who takes that vision, incubates it enough as though it's theirs. To the extent of pushing it forward to other people in, and making sure that it's actually implemented on the ground. So that's, for me, being a number two to the CEO then, that was my role. In fact, I was just excited by the fact that this is where we are going, this is where you want to go, okay, I will make it happen.
You know, I need to emphasize what you've just said. You've just given people tips and tricks of how to get job security, but even promotion.
And
there's nothing that a visionary loves more than somebody who catches the vision and actually runs with it and implements it as they would, or better than they would.
One of the things that I found out, and this again I learned in during the internship, but also as I sort of like grew in my career and just generally in life, there are always opportunities for growth. It's just that many of us are too lazy, too complacent, too, like in our own world, or sometimes too afraid to take them on. Most of the times, the reason why I've advanced in my career is because I took the risk when I saw the opportunity. When you do a lot more than what is confined to you, you remember when I say that I take responsibility, even what is not necessarily mine, that trait has always landed me in, you increase your value, like you become more valuable to the organization, more valuable to the individual, to the extent that the minute something comes up, you're top of mind.
Yes.
You're not an afterthought. You're actually the person for, okay, there's this opportunity, who do we entrust it to? And they know for sure that you can do it and you will do it well. And then it helps you expand your skills. It helps you increase your ability to do more. But many of us don't take that opportunity, especially, sorry to say, in this generation, many of us are very complacent or just comfortable with what we've been given. And therefore you limit your own growth because you're the one who's put a leash on yourself. So when you remove the leash and say, okay, there's this thing that needs to be done, even something as basic as, okay, clean the office, or, you know, has the person who's supposed to be cleaned the office, has this person who's supposed to be doing this done this, you get to learn and to increase your skills and therefore expand your own value or increase your own value and expand your own capacity to handle more. Mm. Because the more you can handle, the more valuable you are. And for some reason, in corporate, the more the money will follow you.
It's so true. Yeah. I have a question. First of all, how long were you in this organization?
So that was 3 years. Again, the transition.
3 years?
Yeah.
3 years?
Yes. Okay. So that was the first job. And then at the end of 3 years, I was poached because of what I was doing.